Dick Morris, something seems to be shifting in the foundations of campaign politics. You've been one of the clearest about the depth of this change. Tell us the story, if you will.
Well, I believe that you have to go back to the 1970s, the early 70s, when political bosses lost their control over American politics. First, when Goldwater won the nomination for the Republicans in 64, and then when McGovern won the nomination for the Democrats in 72. And it very briefly appeared, a flicker, that there would be power to the people, that we would take the political power structure and the political bosses, strip them of power, and through primaries, give the power back to voters. But that lasted like the Prague summer. It lasted about 3 months before the media closed that down and set in a new era of oligarchy, the media age in our politics. Lyndon Johnson used paid negative political commercials to bury Goldwater, and Nixon used the same to bury McGovern. And from 1972 until really 1999 or 2000, we had what I see as the media age in American politics, which empowered guys like me who do television commercials, fundraisers, fat cat donors, special interests, and a handful of people who became the new political elite. But starting, I think, with Clinton beating impeachment in 99 and going through the Dean campaign of 2004, the media has lost power. And in my view, the Internet has acquired power, filled that vacuum. And I think that the Internet age of American politics began in 2003.
What were the first crocuses on the lawn for you?
Buds on the tree or crocuses on the lawn? I think that it really was a push-pull. The push was that voters stopped watching television. The number of people who watch primetime network television has dropped from 90% on the typical weekday night in 1980 to less than a third now. And you see it in the television news shows. Lyndon Johnson just needed three TVs in his office for ABC, NBC, and CBS. Mm. And he was seeing the news that almost 70% of the Americans saw. Now only about 18% see the three of them combined. And we are just simply not all sitting together watching the same program at the same time, at the same night. And that is the removal of the Orwellian precursor to the control of the media age. And we're not all doing that, it means that we all can't be homogenized by the same 30-second commercial. Now, of course, with politicians having only one-third of the audience on television, they're responding by buying three times as much time. So campaigns have gotten incredibly more expensive, but it's the last gasp of a dying system. Mm. I think that the pull is the fact that Americans are logging on at night, that about a quarter of all Americans are on the computer during prime time. And almost 70% have regular Internet access. So the media is losing its power in politics, and the Internet is gaining it. And I think it is creating an entirely new age in American politics.
Dick Morris, so many people tell me, I mean, sophisticated people say, well, they've never heard of a blog, and they give you, in effect, a blank stare when you talk about a transformation. What do you tell them?
Well, how do you think Bill Clinton survived impeachment, but blogs and Move On and all of that? Where did the anti-globalization movement get its strength from? Certainly not the mainstream media. Where did the right wing get its strength from in the anti-Clinton stuff? Where is the Dean candidacy from? If you just read the New York Times and the Washington Post, you get blindsided by all of this stuff. Uh-huh. It's the new age in which everybody is a publisher of a newspaper. And they can circulate it to anyone who's interested in reading it. And that period of freedom, that free exchange of ideas, unmediated by who has the station license or who can afford paper and ink, really, I just think, is the essence of the Internet era.
Let's talk about Dean and also the Bush strategy on the Internet. First, Joe Trippi is talking about a massive collision of power coming, something like a train wreck, or maybe a new democracy.
Well, I think there certainly is that opportunity. I think before we get to Dean himself, let me just say that the long-term impact of the Internet, if we can just get away from Dean for a moment, we'll come back to him, is that it basically means that representative democracy is going to loosen its control in the United States. And direct democracy, a la Arnold Schwarzenegger, voters taking this stuff into their own hands and controlling it, is going to increase in power. I mean, in the future, when you have a major piece of legislation like NAFTA or something, or Medicare prescription drugs pending in Congress, you'll have 30 or 40 or 50 million people voluntarily voting in an online referendum. Even if the government doesn't sponsor it, private people will. I have my website, vote.com, where we attempt to do that on a small scale. But eventually it'll become huge. And ultimately, the power of congressmen to mediate our views will be dramatically reduced. But let's go back to Howard Dean for a minute.
Right.
What he's achieved so far is absolutely incredible. And indeed, there's a parallel with McGovern, who reformed the Democratic Party and, by implication, the Republican Party, and created the primary system for choosing candidates. And then he lost the election, and Dean may lose the election, but he's transformed politics in getting this nomination. Basically, what he's done is he's broken the hold of special interests and rich people over the politics of this country. The legalized bribery that has been going on in campaign contributions has just stultified and suffocated democracy. And by proving that it was cheaper and faster and easier to raise lots of money from small contributors on the net than it is to go to fat cats and special interests, Dean has struck a blow for democracy that will reverberate throughout history. The average campaign now has 30 or 40,000 people who've given them money. Dean has 300,000 people who've given him money. And that's just an order of magnitude that breaks the control that the moneyed special interests have had over our politics. Dean happens to have come from the left, but he could easily have come from the right. The point is that the Internet is going to be the way that you raise money in the future. And the second part of this discovery, which is about to kick the party in the butt, is coming through Iowa and New Hampshire, where Dean is also going to prove that it is better to spend money over the Internet, emailing to voters, staying in touch with them one-on-one, than to rely on a media campaign to win the election. Raising money on the Internet to buy television commercials is a little bit like using the Air Force to ferry troops to combat. You can do that, but there's a lot of other stuff you can do with your Air Force, too.
Joe Trippi says it's a model for reinventing democracy. I mean, you take him seriously.
Oh, I do. I completely agree with it.
Taking back the country from money and the lobbyists.
It is. And also from the corrupt congressional system that we have, where not only you have the lobbyists and the special interest contributors, but through reapportionment, only 16 congressmen lost their seats in the last election. The Senate has become more competitive than the House, and that's only because they can't gerrymander state lines. And I think that what we're going to see increasingly is direct democracy expressed through the Internet. Expressed through interactivity, dominating our politics. The essence of the Internet, really, is not that it provides a new set of eyes or ears, but it gives the voters a mouth, which they've never had in the media. And I think that the impact of that is absolutely historic.
Who are the big winners? Who are the big losers here?
Well, the big winners are, first, the people. The big losers are the special interests, the PACs, and so on. Within the special interest community, ad hoc citizen organizations like the National Rifle Association on the left or the AFL-CIO on the right or the AFL-CIO on the left, those organizations are going to be much more powerful because they actually have warm bodies that are their members and their donors and their supporters. People like the pharmaceutical industry that have no supporters, just have a checking account, and run their PACs out of a phone booth writing checks, they're going to lose power because ultimately money is going to matter a lot less in American politics. It's so interesting that the political establishment set up the primary system precisely to keep a guy like Howard Dean from getting the nomination. They front-loaded the primaries so that in early March, March 9th I think it is, New York, California, Ohio, and Texas all voted and basically would decide who the nominee is going to be. And their thought was that it's always possible for some crazy guy to win Iowa and New Hampshire because they're small states. But if you bring on the big states right away, they won't have time to turn around the momentum, get their money and spend it and be able to win the election, like McCain couldn't in 2000. And he had to hit the early momentum wasn't enough for him to win the big states from Bush. Well, what Dean did is he went out and raised three times as much money in the last quarter as his nearest rival on the internet. And then he's sitting there with a nest egg vastly in excess of what any of the candidates have. And the front loading is going to guarantee that the establishment doesn't have time to recover. It's highly cool.
Dick, what's the connection here with the anti-war feeling out there?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party, the tail has taken over the dog. Not just wagged the dog, taken it over. You have the most liberal third of the party basically taking over the Democratic Party. And the era of moderation that really Clinton ushered in 1992, after the Mondales and Dukakis's kind of moved the party to the left, I think that, that's kind of gone. I think that we're now looking at the far left facing, taking over the Democratic Party. And if we're not careful, we'll have the far left facing off with the far right, and we'll end up with terrible politics. But I do believe that this is fueled by the frustration of the Iraq war, the feeling of disempowerment that the left had, that nobody was listening to it after 9/11. And I think that it led to a mobilization and an aggressive, catalyzed aggressive energy, which I think really has been very effective in mobilizing the left of the Democratic Party and taking it over. I think they're going to get slaughtered in the 2004 election. I think they're way, way, way too far left for the American people. And I think Dean will go down in history as somebody who lost massively. But having said all of that, the important contribution of George McGovern to history is not that he ran against Richard Nixon and lost. It's that he reformed the Democratic Party and eliminated the bosses by making us choose our leaders in primaries. And the historical role of Howard Dean, I believe, is going to be that he reformed American politics and made it participatory again.
Why do you call him the candidate of the left?
Because he is. He's the only candidate who opposed the Iraq war at the very beginning and has always opposed it. He signed the...
How far left is that?
Well, it's far to the left of Lieberman and Kerry and Gephardt and Edwards, who voted for it. So obviously it's to the left of them. And he's the only governor in the country that signed a civil union bill for gays, which the right wing is stereotyping as gay marriage. So clearly he's the left of the field. What happened, I think, is that Kerry thought that looked at Lieberman and Edwards and Gephardt and said, hey, I'm to the left of those guys. I don't have to worry about co-opting the left. I can vote for the war resolution and still have the loyalty of the liberals. But he didn't count on Howard Dean being propelled out of nowhere by the internet and flanking him on the left.
Dick Morris, let's talk about the fall campaign, and let's talk about the Republican use of the internet. Is George Bush bloggable?
Yeah, I think that the Republicans are going to be even more effective in using the internet than the Dean campaign is.
Oh,
I think that they are working at developing a truly massive national email base. Dean, for example, I think about 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, was boasting that he had 500,000 e-addresses of people around the country. I'll bet you that Bush is around 20 or 30 million. The Republican Party has been very, very, very active in building up its email list. And I think that they are technologically ahead of the Democrats in this. I just don't think they're advertising it at this point because I think they're planning to spring a surprise. It reminds me of back in the 70s when Jesse Jackson was talking about voter registration at the top of his lungs and a massive effort to register blacks. And quietly, the Republican Party was signing up everybody that had just married or just graduated from college or from high school. And ultimately, they registered more people than the Democrats did. And I think this is just the kind of thing the Republicans are pretty good at. Also, let's remember that the internet is still more male than female, and more right-wing than left-wing, and more upscale than downscale. And if it's anything, it's younger, and that a lot of basically the X generation remains a Republican-oriented generation from the Reagan and the Bush years. So I think the Republicans will exploit that edge and do very well technologically. But listen, when you're into a general election, the mechanics don't really matter. It's just the issues. And I think that Bush will dominate the race because I think he has the issues. I think the real problem that Howard Dean and the Democrats will have is that they're going to have to run their whole campaign in the past tense. There used to be a recession. There used to be no prescription drug benefits. There used to be day-to-day casualties mounting in Iraq. And I think by the time the election's held, a lot of our troops will be out of there. The rest will be pretty safe. The economy will be purring along, and everybody will have their drug discount card. So I think that there's really very little that the Democrats will have in the present or future tense to campaign on.
Well, we'll see. Stick with the Republican campaign on the Internet. The Internet is a viral, bottom-up sort of medium. Joe Trippi keeps saying you cannot run it with the old command and control. There's also a word for sort of top-down grassroots communication when it's not quite authentic, known as AstroTurf. How do the Republicans make it an authentic, a bottom-up, grassroots Internet campaign, not just more talking points delivered by email?
Well, I think that the Republican base is seething with activity. I think that there's a tremendous guerrilla network within the Republican base. That's what Hillary calls the vast right-wing conspiracy. Your talk shows, your internet sites, the Drudge Report, your Fox News channel, the whole range of inputs that tend to be the places where conservatives and Republicans can talk to one another. Remember, these guys are used to being frozen out by the mainstream media, so they've had to develop channels of communication that are off the shelf and that are new. And everybody who plays the stock market is a day trader, online every day, monitoring their stocks, following them. The Internet is like second nature. And I think they're going to be very effective in developing a spontaneous online community. Also, come on, you can't think of any community that is better connected and better wired to itself than the religious community. They meet all the time. They email each other all the time. There are all kinds of prayer groups and everything else around the country. And the fact is that people that attend church regularly vote Republican by 2-1, and those who don't vote Democrat by 2-1. And with the gay marriage issue, it's going to accentuate that divide. So I think this kind of viral bottom-up growth, which is absolutely crucial on the Internet, it is what the Internet is all about, I think will be as much Republican as Democrat. But what Trippi says is basically right about what he's been able to do. In the beginning, Howard Dean found two or three gays and two or three peaceniks, and they brought in 500,000 each of their friends, and that became his political base. I know that when I set up my website, vote.com, in 1993, we spent $1 million of advertising on that, and we got 200,000 users. Then when the gay marriage issue came up in Vermont, oddly enough, we got 800,000 users, and we never spent a dime advertising. It was pro and anti-gay marriage people emailing to one another, bringing them in to participate in the site. And now we have 2.5 million users, and every month we get 30 or 40,000 new ones, and we can't keep them away. They just come in because we're a ballot box, and they use it to make their opinions felt. That's what the Internet's all about, this viral bottom-up talking. And both parties, unfortunately the extremes of both parties, are seething hotbeds of activity which will radiate upward through the Internet.
A couple more questions, Dick, and we're done. Does Karl Rove say, damn the Internet, I wish it had never been invented, or does he say, I'll use it as well as they will?
Oh, the latter. Karl Rove, you know, was a direct mail guy. He didn't come into politics through doing polls or TV ads. He did it through direct mail. So the idea of this one-on-one retail politics is right up his alley. And the Internet is basically direct mail without having to pay postage. So he's going to adore that and I think do very well at it.
Does the campaign collapse back into a standard television barking contest or not?
I think it ultimately will. But I think that because I think that by the general election, everybody is enthralled and paying attention, and there'll be pluralistic news sources from the Internet, but basically there'll be one national dialogue. But, Chris, can I fantasize what the campaigns of 4 and 8 years from now are going to look like?
Sure.
Well, two things. First of all, you're going to have search engine technology, just like Google, applied to a candidate. So I'm going to sit with my candidate and interview him for 100 hours over 3 weeks on every issue you can imagine. Hmm. And every time he says something, I'm going to answer him, and he's going to answer me, and I'm going to answer him. And by the time we finish, we will have said everything that could ever be said about the issues facing America or foreign issues. Then we're going to go through it for keywords and index it like a search engine. And what will happen is that you log on to www.dixcandidate.com, and my candidate will come on the air and say, "Hi, welcome to my website. What do you want to talk about?" And you'll type in immigration, and he'll give his one-minute spiel on immigration. And then you'll write back, "Well, what about keeping terrorists out of the country?" And those words will trigger his response just like it would in a conversation, and he'll answer you. And then you'll argue back and say, "But what about civil liberties?" And he'll answer back, and you'll say, "Well, what about snooping in our library books?" And he'll answer back. And you'll be able to sit there for hours, for tens of hours, and talk to the candidate almost as if you're having a real conversation. And then your views will be passed on to the candidate, and you will get an email back from the campaign that really is a dialogue from the candidate. And then I think the other element of the future is that just like you have last-minute TV ads that run, I'll bet that on the day before the election, at 7 o'clock, Gore blasts Bush, and at 7:30, Bush answers and blasts Gore, and at 8 o'clock, Gore blasts Bush back, and every half hour, 120 million emails go out in the United States.
And who'll be reading them?
Everybody, because they'll have to vote the next day, and they'll be very anxious to do it. And the politics that used to take months will now be waged in one night.
What if Dean loses, Dick Morris? What's left of the Internet energy and what's left of the lobbies?
Well, what's left of the Internet is that it'll take over politics. It's totally irrelevant what happens to Howard Dean. It's the fact that Americans are leaving television and migrating to the Internet, and politicians are like lions. When the antelope move, they move. It's their food supply. When the voters go someplace, they follow. And I think that the lobbyists will learn that lobbying up doesn't work. It won't work to go to your senator and congressman and say, "Vote for my bill," with the implicit promise that I'll write you a check. What will work is to lobby downward. That is, go to the voters through the Internet, build up a constituency of people that support your point of view, and then let that percolate up to influence the legislators. Hmm. It's downward lobbying, not upward lobbying.
Where in the media, Dick, do you find useful information on this rather transformed game of American campaign politics?
I don't from the media. I think they're very far behind it.
Dick,
but the Internet era is here to stay for a long time. And ultimately, what it makes possible is the construction of global democracy to challenge global bureaucracy. In other words, you have global bureaucracy in the World Trade Organization, the IMF, the World Bank, the European Union, the United Nations, NATO, and all of these institutions that are not run as democracies but are basically run by bureaucracies and have the thinnest of tethers to the will of the electorate. And in many cases, their dominant members are not even democracies. But by the end, it'll be a cold day in hell before the governments of the world set up a global democracy. But the Internet will make possible the global expression of opinion, not through riots and demonstrations, but through voting, in such a way that it will discipline and ultimately overcome the power of the global bureaucracies.
Dick, this is enormously interesting. You've been as clear as anybody in the world on this big subject.
Good. I appreciate your taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.